us for a while. You're here to make sure your shopping experience is enjoyable and keep the riffraff in line. The hall monitors of the Pacific Garden Mall obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Just obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Well, they got them cute little radios, pretty green shirts as well. They're the eyes and ears of the Santa Cruz police to protect and serve and sell. Yeah, they're the hospitality patrol, here to make sure you enjoy your stay. A green-shirted hospitality Nazi. Ain't got the cash, you better go away. But they'll make sure your shopping experience is wonderful. They'll keep those dirty street people in line. The eyes and ears of the Santa Cruz police obey the rules and you'll have a good time. So obey the rules. That our hosts have been pretty damn inhospitable, especially since the street is home to me. They come into my house, order me around with no badge and no authority. They're the hospitality patrol, here to make sure you wear a smile. They're the hospitality Nazis who spend your money for a while. They'll make sure your shopping experience is frickin' wonderful. Yeah, they'll keep us dirty street people in line. The hall monitors the Pacific Garden Mall. Obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Well, though you just may be passing through, remember what I sang to you. In your hometown, yes, everywhere, with this money to spend, they are there. Look around, I'm sure you'll see our gentrified reality. Spend your money day by day, our hosts are here to guide the way. Yeah, there's the hospitality patrol, here to make sure you enjoy your stay. The green-shirted hospitality Nazis, you ain't got the cash, you better go away. Yeah, they'll make sure your shopping experience is freaking wonderful. They'll keep us dirty street people in line. The hall monitors the Pacific Garden Mall. It's here in Santa Cruz. Obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Obey the rules and you'll have a good time. We'll call the cops over and they'll beat on you for a while.
But you know we're out here fighting crime. Yeah, right.
So it's about 7:15 on March 2nd, 2002. I'm in the Denny's. Is this the only Denny's in town here in Santa Monica?
Yeah, it is.
The sole Denny's. You were saying virtual lodging for the last 2 or 3 years here?
Yeah, if you're homeless, for me here in Santa Monica, sleeping on the street and trying to find affordable housing, I found a cup of coffee at Denny's to be the most affordable 2 hours of housing I can get.
And I guess you're a man who's been a Santa Monica regular for how long now?
I've been homeless. I've been a resident in the west side of Los Angeles for 20 years, and I've been homeless since 1992. I've been homeless on the street in Santa Monica for the last 4 years.
Sure.
You know, Robert, one thing I'd like to say on this subject of Denny's, though, since we started out with that, there are not too many late-night coffee shops in Santa Monica. There's about three or four. But one thing about going to Denny's is you know that when you do pay your $2 for a cup of coffee, that you can have the satisfaction of roughly $2. You can have the satisfaction of knowing that probably 75% of that is going to pay for some civil rights justice to the various plaintiffs who've been discriminated against by Denny's restaurants around the country.
Right. So, well, that's, I'd say more like 3%, but maybe you're right. You're talking about, of course, the fact that Denny's has discriminated against African-American people in different cities. And actually, we had a potential lawsuit for homeless people back in 1989 in Santa Cruz in Denny's when they refused to serve a homeless woman a cup of coffee, and all of us went in and did this sit-in and so forth. But, you know, Denny's is only a small part of the Santa Monica scene. Last night I slept in a vehicle here in Santa Monica at a place you suggested, a private parking lot about a block away from Denny's. But what's the situation for people sleeping? Well, first of all, was I illegal in so doing so? Could I have been cited by a police officer for a violation of some municipal code?
Only if the property owner complained.
So only for trespass?
Correct.
You know, in Santa Cruz we have a law that would have made that illegal unless they had the written permission of the business owner, and there was only two vehicles on that lot parked there overnight in a similar situation. So apparently your laws are more liberal than Santa Cruz's, if that's the case.
That's a Santa Cruz municipal code that they passed?
Yeah, there was a municipal code that was passed in 99 that allows two vehicles per business parking lot, three vehicles per church parking lot, with the written permission of the owner to sleep there. There's some dispute now as to whether, actually now that's for only for 72 hours in the case of the business, but unlimited period of time in the case of the church, again with the permission of the church. You can't do it in a tent, you can't sleep outside on church property, even with the permission of the church. There's a 72-hour limit on all sleeping on all private property where it's allowed, and it's only allowed in backyards and fenced-in side yards and front yards that are not visible from the street. That's the rule in the Santa Cruz city limits with the municipal code called 6.36, the camping ordinance.
Well, thank the Great Spirit that Santa Monica hasn't gone to that step yet.
What is the law in Santa Monica regarding vehicles in sleeping in vehicles on public property? I recall there was a rather unusual liberal law in the 80s written by Bob Myers, the city attorney, who was eventually kicked out by the city council for being too nice to homeless people. And then there was a change in the law that happened in 1994 when a massive right-wing effort to criminalize homeless people happened and sort of frightened the city council into passing some preemptive legislation. Do you know what the current legal status for homeless people is here in Santa Monica in vehicles?
Fairly well, yeah. Since just last year, the drive was spearheaded by the police department of Santa Monica to kick everybody in the city living in a vehicle out of town. And just to give you the context on that, there's 86,000 people, roughly, in Santa Monica. In this town of 86,000 people, 10 square miles, the city police department found out that we had a overwhelming flood of 70 people in the entire city living in their vehicle. But that apparently for this wealthy tourist city is just too much. So they tried to kick us all out. And to answer your question, they we found out that the current state of the law in Santa Monica is that it is illegal to sleep in a vehicle for more than 30 minutes in a residential zone. And there's four residential zones in the city. What the law, for some reason, has the oversight of not mentioning any of the other zones, mixed use, light industrial zones in the city. And
what percentage of the city is that four residential zones make up?
I haven't looked at that. I couldn't tell you, but I would guess
half the city or less.
I would say at least half, maybe three quarters, because 80% of the city of Santa Monica is renters, and it's a lot of residences here.
So, and in fact, this is the Myers Law of the 80s that protected homeless people. In essence, it said, A, you can sleep anywhere you want. It's non-residential in a vehicle. You can't be bothered. And B, if you sleep in a vehicle in a residential area, you still have half an hour's worth. Is there an amount of time? It has to be essentially on complaint by a resident, or no? It can be just be a police officer noticing you there for more than half an hour.
Just a police officer noticing you in Santa Monica.
Does that mean, in fact, that people sleeping in their vehicles in industrial zones are not bothered, or are police using other means to go after them?
There's some reports of people being bothered. I don't know of anybody who's actually gathered up in the city numbers or complaints. We haven't, the homeless newspaper, we haven't been able to
really change the name of the homeless paper.
Yeah, we haven't really been able to dig into that. We get a lot of anecdotal reports, and nobody has decided that they wanted to stand up and get to the bottom of that issue. Last year, when we fought off the this push by the police department,
to change this law,
they tried to, and we held a series of community meetings where we homeless people rallied together, and we pointed out that while they had attacked the city council with this gigantic presentation claiming a flood of over 200 complaints every year of homeless people sleeping in their vehicles, we pointed out, well, with 70 people sleeping in their vehicles 365 days a year, that amounts to about 250 or 25,000 potential complaints that could be generated if just one person on an entire street wanted to complain about that, quote, nasty homeless person or lazy shipless quote.
Or a genuine problem such as dumping trash on the street or being abusive or parking in front of your driveway or some such thing. That would be a legitimate concern of a resident.
Yeah. So out of over 25,000 times a year, where there might be the potential for a legitimate complaint to be completed, only 250 amounts to less than 1% of the time that one person on an entire block complained. And so we pointed out that there is no massive outcry in the city.
But there was a massive outcry in the police department officialdom, though.
That's what emerged, yes.
Now, what about the city council? Did they vote simply to shelve this or not even to take it up? Or what was the what were the dimensions of the discussion there?
The issue was brought up, they used the tactic that a lot of politicians, when they don't want to deal directly with an issue or stand up for their principles on the issue, they sent it back to committee.
I see. So it never came out of committee, actually. It died in committee?
Yes. Yeah. But it's sort of like Dracula, you know. Anytime things can get dark, you know, there's nothing keeping the vampires from coming back out of the coffin with their plan to attack us in the middle of the night.
The Patriot Act, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Now, in 1994, I guess I was misremembering, it wasn't people in vehicles that got the shaft, it was homeless people elsewhere. Isn't there a law that criminalizes homeless people from sleeping on public property in Santa Monica?
Yeah. Santa Monica is one of the first, probably 10 cities in the country to pass an anti-camping law, which is an absurd thing, because to apply apply a law against homeless people and call it a camping law is just absurd, because no homeless person, this isn't camping, this is survival. But that's part of the denial of too many officials and Americans that that's what we're engaged in, survival.
Violence against homeless people in Santa Monica, in terms of either vigilante or police action, have you got any stats on that or any sense of whether that's increasing or decreasing in the last year or two?
Well, you know, the only way I can answer that is being homeless is violence. And, I mean, that's the truthful answer to that. That's the real answer that we all know. And we shouldn't lose sight of that. The answer about things like the hate attacks that were statistics on that were compiled by the National Coalition for the Homeless. I think they found last year there were 80 homeless murders or violent attacks where people were like set on fire in homeless hate crimes. Here in Santa Monica, there's no compiling of statistics on homeless hate crimes against homeless people. While there are statistics compiled about hate crimes against other people, we have, thankfully, no major hate crime that we know of. That doesn't mean, even though we have a homeless newspaper in this city, that we know that we can say for a fact that that hasn't occurred, because like in most communities, homeless papers are surviving by a handful of dedicated people, and we just don't get the facts on everything.
And the homeless newspaper you talk about making change was involved in some controversy 4 or 5 years ago when it was struggling against what was perceived as competition locally, and perhaps even more ominously, a kind of a profound competition against homeless papers generally by the big issue, the London-based mega paper, which publishes every week and which is sold by homeless people in, I guess, 5 or 6 different large cities in the world, 3 of them in England, like 1 in South Africa, 1 in Australia, I'm not sure, but it's a worldwide paper with...
I think they're in the Netherlands, too.
Netherlands now as well. You know, they're a paper which is... they've been characterized differently, and I haven't been following them in recent years in any detail. I don't subscribe to them. But they were considered in 1997, when I went to the meeting of NASNA, North American Street Newspaper Association, a group that was essentially using homeless people to distribute and sell a product that essentially kind of ripped off the homeless, but also had a certain, you know, it used a certain glitz or a patina of concern for homeless people, but also was more into, you know, mainstream frills and stuff, you know, in public interest stories about Princess Di and that sort of thing. Anyway, they had a problem with... we had a problem with them coming into the country because we were afraid they were going to, in essence, supplant local homeless papers that were struggling, and also some of us were concerned that advocacy was our interest, not, you know, putting together a product that homeless people could sell, like pens or, you know, pencils or apples on the corner, you know, where they get a small percentage of the money, but rather changing the situation through spreading the situation, spreading in news of the homeless struggle through print. And
yeah, Robert, if
I went on about that for some time, I apologize.
Yeah, you explained the situation well, and to put it simply, for anybody who wants to understand some of the root causes of homelessness in America, and people are always saying, well, why are people homeless in America? Why are you homeless in America? The whole controversy over the big issue is worth looking into, because it's a stark and egregious illustration of what causes homelessness in America. The big issue is a, quote, charity. And the question is, are charities solving homelessness in America, or are they perpetuating it? And if you look, and
if you want to understand what homeless people say, will mean when they say that we don't want charity, we want justice, look at the big issue. The big issue is a global publishing empire being built on the backs of homeless slave labor. That's the fact. Everybody understands today that you can own a multi-million dollar corporation that makes no money, but is worth billions of dollars if you walk into a bank and you sell nothing more substantial than a name. And the big issue is a gigantic growing charity foundation.
And you are tuned to Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Bathroom Cheers Broadsides is now over. And I didn't cut it off, by the way. That's some of Robert's wonderful production.
He took me out of the studio.
Wonderful production equipment, production of that he's got going here. So here's some Madcap, 96.3.